time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show. Your host, Dana Rodriguez, is joined this week by Joshua Cosman, San Francisco Chronicle's music critic, and technical editor, Kira Pace. It's got to be your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend, and we also hope you can give us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we're encouraging your participation in every way possible. We hope to entertain you over the course of the hour. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So all you have to do is listen and hopefully call in. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, excuse me, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. Again, we'll be throwing out questions to you momentarily, and then if you choose, you can call up and answer them, or if you have a question of your own, that's perfectly legit. You can ask us that. So, also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1, that is mindsovermatter1, and that is the numeral one, not the word one. So that's mindsovermatter1, and that is at gmail.com. Feel free to email us anytime. It's always a pleasure to hear from our listeners. We don't read them during the show, but they all get read. So again, that's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. If you'd like to hear the show online, you can certainly do that. You might be doing it right now at kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you would like a podcast of the show or listen to the podcast, you can certainly do that not too long after our show tonight, also at kalw.org. If you wait a little bit longer, probably on iTunes. So, all that being said, we're going to start with the round introduction. And here's the first. Kira Pace is happy that summer temperatures have let up and San Francisco's summer weather has returned.
Yay. 80 degrees in Parkside. What is this, Florida? I swear. So there was once a guy named Josh Cosman who looked like a bald Donny Osmond. He wrote verses galore, but they stopped at line 4.
And with the shaving of his mustache, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, is one big step closer to becoming a true Mexican-American hairless.
All right. That is us. And we'll begin the questioning with Kira Pace.
All right. So there's an excerpt from a journal of a concentration camp guard. So let's get that right away. Concentration camp guard journal in which the Nazi who wrote it complains that the sounds of children crying in the camp he oversaw kept him awake. This complete lack of empathy inspired a science fiction author's novel. So I would like to know the name of the novel and the movie it became.
Lack of empathy. Is that the general thrust of the novel, or is it just dealing with it illustrates a particular character in the novel?
I would say it's the general thrust of the novel.
Okay.
I thought you were going to something I've never read, but I think is not a novel. It's a short story, and it wasn't made into. I'm thinking of the one by Ursula Le Guin about the society that's kept alive by the suffering of one small child.
It's not, but you.
What's that called?
I can't remember. I know exactly what you're talking about, and you are ridiculously close.
Is it Ursula Le Guin?
No, it's not. But it's the next name you think of when you think of Ursula Le Guin. Perhaps.
Her daughter Elizabeth Le Guin is a wonderful cellist and a musicologist.
Okay, well,
she's the next person. I think of.
the next person that most other people
is it?
Think
okay,
of.
Is it a man?
It is a man.
Mm-hmm. Is it a man who just died recently? Harlan Ellison?
No.
Okay.
But again, now we're same genre.
I don't know how
is
you
it
rank
Ray Bradbury.
No.
How do you rank science fiction authors? Is it Philip K. Dick?
There it is.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know this. I don't know Philip K. Dick.
Yeah, I don't know.
A Blade Runner.
It is Blade Runner.
Blade
yeah.
Runner and do androids dream of electric sheep?
Right. Oh, for someone who doesn't know it, you sort of got it exactly right.
I can recite titles all day, but it doesn't mean I've read any of them.
Yep.
Oh, so, all right. That's interesting, huh?
All right.
Yeah. He said that he was inspired to write it because instead of empathizing with the children who were suffering, he saw the children only as a nuisance that disturbed his sleep.
Oof.
Yeah.
All right. Ask us another question.
Sure.
Please.
Something a little lighter than that.
Please.
Okay. So after the first season of Star Trek, Nichelle Nichols was planning to leave the show for Broadway. Who convinced her to stay on the show, noting, among other things, that she was a black woman who was fourth in command of a starship?
I don't know. You look like you...
Martin Luther King.
Jr. Yes, that is absolutely
really?
Correct.
Yeah, I read that.
Wow.
Yeah. I've heard her tell that story.
Yes.
How about that?
He also said it was the only show that he let his kids stay up and watch.
Oh,
wow.
At the same time, a 9-year-old Whoopi Goldberg was excitedly screaming to her family that there was a black woman on TV who wasn't a maid. So it was a big deal.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
All right. And Josh?
Well, I just start with a straight-up geography question.
Right.
Yeah, we'll just do some world capitals.
Okay.
I made a list of the world capitals that have significant full word overlap between the city name and the country name. And I put them in three categories. There are six world capitals that are identical to the name of their country. There are four world capitals that are the name of the country plus the word city. And there are four others where there's a one word overlap. So you can pick off two or three of them each. And I'll just say I'm leaving out ones where there's an obvious etymological link, but it's not exact, like Algeria and Algiers, or Brazil and Brasilia, just to kind of keep the
Guatemala
list.
City.
Guatemala City is one for sure.
Luxembourg City.
Yeah, okay. I put that under Luxembourg. I guess it's Luxembourg or Luxembourg.
I've seen it listed as Luxembourg City.
I've seen it both ways.
Okay.
So
isn't it also Lesotho City?
No.
Uh-uh. I thought they had an overlap name. Okay.
No.
Sorry.
All right. Give the categories once more.
Putting Luxembourg in the ones with counting Luxembourg as one of these, there are six where the country and the capital city have the exact same name. There are four where the capital is the name of the country plus the word city. Guatemala City is one that Dana got already. And there are four others where there's some kind of one complete word overlap between the name of the city and the name of the country.
Is the capital Belize, Belize?
It is not. The capital of Belize is Belmopan.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, it's all right. No shame in that.
Oh, well, Mexico City.
Mexico City is one for sure.
All right. And we have a couple of lines open. If you'd like to give us a call, that's area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Good.
So I have two questions about history that matters. Things that really made a difference. Okay, listen to me.
To us.
It is estimated that 10% of the whole world population during that time were murdered by this empire. 10%. Over 40 million people, and Earth at the time had about 400 million people altogether. They were mostly in the old world, Soviet Asia, Middle East, and Europe.
So the
Mongols.
The Mongols.
The Mongols. Yeah, that's unbelievable. They really were savage. Okay, so finally, they were defeated at this battle. What is the name of the battle that stopped them?
What year was the battle, Ed?
1260 AD. Before you say that, I just like to say that they have totally swiped through Asia, destroyed the Abyssinian Empire, completely destroyed Baghdad and the Great Library it has, went all the way in Northern Europe, all the way to Poland and Finland.
Right.
Then they tried to do a vice. They went down Syria to this country, and this is where they had the battle.
Is this? Did this battle take place in Egypt?
Just of Egypt, yeah. The name of the battle is Ain Zalut. Funny enough, it is the same place where the biblical story of David and Goliath happened. Believe it or not, it's the same exact thing. And the Egyptian had no chance to win against this huge army. But they were so badly defeated that, I mean, they were totally destroyed. The whole army was destroyed by the Egyptian Mamluks. So it really saved the, because they wanted to go through North Africa and have a vice on the whole world and just become totally dominant. But they were totally destroyed and withdrew back into Asia. They maintained their livelihood around Southeast Asia, but eventually they vanished. But they really were savage. They had no education, no science, nothing. Just savage people that controlled the whole earth for about 100 years. And eventually they were defeated in Egypt. Okay, my second question was about history. It's really also interesting. Who was in of the Battle of Actium? Who you know, this is more ancient than the Battle of Enzalut. The Battle of Actium. Who was the two competing armies?
It sounds
Rome and Egypt.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, who was leading the Egyptian army and who was leading the Roman army?
Wasn't Antony and
Cleopatra.
Cleopatra leading
Antony,
Cleopatra,
pretty much, yeah. You're right.
Yep.
And who was leading the Roman army?
Augustus Caesar,
well,
wasn't it?
Yeah, he changed his name to Augustus later on, but it was Octavian.
Octavian.
Yeah?
Yeah. And so much money was stolen. Trillions of dollars of gold was stolen from Egypt during that time. Truly, that's in history. Okay, the last question, let me go. How old was Cleopatra when she died? How old was she when she died? You know, she supposedly killed herself with an asp, with a snake bite.
30.
Yeah, I want to say she was in her 30s.
Okay. A little closer, a little bit higher.
34.
39. She really loved Egypt, and she was a great queen. But her love affair with the Romans brought the end of Egyptian civilization, as it once it was. It continued beyond that for sure, but was, you know, romance and whatever. Power does not mix. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Eden.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call, area code 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple questions. Queen Elizabeth has, of course, been on the throne for a long, long time, 52, 53. And I'm sure she's looking forward to meeting Donald Trump in a couple of weeks. She's met every president except one during her reign.
Hmm.
Who is the one that she hasn't met, or never met, I should say?
I don't know this, but I mean, my first guess would be Gerald Ford, just because the
no,
opportunity
she,
was short.
She met with Gerald Ford and danced with him, even.
Hmm.
Well, let's see. Maybe something right at the beginning of her reign, which would be, I mean,
well, that would be Eisenhower.
Yeah. Or
but he was around for 8 years, so.
Yeah.
Or Truman, I guess. Maybe.
Nope, she met them both.
Oh, well, maybe just because he was, I don't know. I was thinking maybe because he was so loutish, Johnson.
So what?
Loutish.
Oh.
You're right, Lyndon Johnson.
Really?
Yes. She was going to go to Kennedy's funeral, but she was pregnant at the time, and so she didn't get a chance to really meet Johnson. So. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, so Lyndon Johnson's the only president that Queen Elizabeth had not met. All right. What is the largest country in the world that has only one airport?
Wow.
What is the largest country in the world that has only one airport? And it's not a tiny country.
Oh, I was going to say it must be pretty small, but no, huh?
It is not.
Do you mean one international airport or
one
airport? One
airport.
How about Mongolia.
God, you're right.
Nice.
I have a gun.
Shoots,
he's
killing scores.
All my questions.
No, it's good.
All right. Moving along. All right. What two items, not originally intended as toys, are in the Toy Hall of Fame?
Ooh.
Silly Putty, maybe. Wasn't that for
no,
transfer?
I mean, that was intended. So by the time it got to be called Silly Putty, that was intended as a toy.
Okay.
So what two items, not originally intended as toys, are in the Toy Hall of Fame?
I guess probably Slinky was meant
was
as
my,
a toy.
That was the next thing I was thinking. But.
So it's think past the when it, by the time it got to be called a Slinky, it was a toy. In other words, so when I say originally intended, it was never intended to become a toy.
I see.
It was no intention at all.
It's just there.
It's a common. There are two common items that are not commonly thought of to this day as toys.
I see. But they can be repurposed as toys.
Right.
A ball of string?
It's a good guess. For a cat. but no,
all
not right. a ball of string.
That's a good question. Let's think it over.
So, again, what two items not really thought of as toys, I'll put it that way, are in the Toy Hall of Fame?
I bet you could use a record spider as a fidget spinner. But probably not.
A record spider?
It's a little yellow thing that goes in the middle of 45.
I never knew that. I know what you're talking about. I never knew that was the name of it.
Spider.
Oh, nice. All right.
Let's see. You answered my other ones. All right. I'll give you one more. This is the flag question. What was the first national flag to have three horizontal stripes, which are so common now? And it's still the same flag. What was the first national flag to have three horizontal stripes?
Italy?
No.
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess. Don't know.
Maybe, all right. Oh.
No, go ahead.
Oh, Netherlands?
Yes, the Netherlands.
Wow. Well done,
killing all my questions. All right.
I guess they probably went horizontal because France already had the same color scheme in the opposite direction.
All right. So only question left. What two items not really thought of as toys happen to be in the Toy Hall of Fame? And
ooh, what about a hairbrush that you sing into?
No. Hey, baby, I'll be back to pick you up later.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to make a Mr. Microphone joke.
Yeah. All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Roger in San Francisco.
Hi, Roger.
Let's see how well you remember your journalism classes. These are figures of speech. What a solipsis. What is a zeugma? What is hendiades? And what is metonymy?
Well, zeugma is time flies like an arrow, fruit flies like a banana. It's where you take a word, you use it in two different ways, you splice it together in a surprising jocular manner.
Actually, that's solipsis.
Your description of zeugma is right, but your example is not right.
Right. I'm sorry. No, I was thinking of the...
The example of zeugma that I was always taught is the businessman left in a hurry in a taxi cab.
No, that's a solipsis. Often a mistake.
Okay.
What's hendiades?
Hendiades, I once knew. That means one in place of two, etymologically, but I can't remember what it... I don't know. Hendiades. I once knew that word.
And you said metonymy is the other one?
Yeah.
That's where you use a piece of something to represent the entire thing,
correct.
Like head of cattle or the White House for U.S. government.
That's true.
I thought that was Schenectady.
And Hendiades.
Dana and I can we can make some Mr. Microphone jokes while Josh thinks about this.
It's got
you're sort of on the way.
Nice
and warm is an example of hendiades. Instead of saying nicely warm, one says nice and warm.
Nice and warm. Okay.
Yeah, zeugma is a little more complex. Most people think of zeugma as being solipsis. Zeugma actually, an example of zeugma is with weeping eyes and hearts. Where the bleeding heart is left out and subsumed by the weeping. Anyway, that's all very good. Now let's see if you can. Every now and then, a year comes along which looks the same written upside down as right way up. The next one will be the year 6009. What was the last one?
1961.
Correct.
Good job.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, yeah, this is David in Oakland.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, I have a couple guesses for your Toy Hall of Fame.
Yes.
A stick?
A stick is one of them, yes.
That's great.
Okay, the other one's got to be every kid's favorite toy on Christmas, the box.
The cardboard box, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Right. Wow.
Hours of fun.
Yeah, exactly. So I have a question for you.
All right.
What is unique about the flag of Belize?
What is unique about the flag of Belize? Is it something that's on the flag, or the shape of the flag, or
it's something that's on the flag? It's not the shape.
Okay. Well, do they still have the Union Jack on the flag in the corner?
No,
they used to.
That wouldn't be unique, though.
No, I guess it's not.
I can't even picture the flag of Belize, to be honest.
There's no.
It's not a particularly well-known flag.
It's not. There's no marijuana leaf on the flag, is there?
No. That might be the flag of the forthcoming flag of California.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So it's not a color. It's something that's.
Does it have
on
to,
the flag?
Does it have to do with maybe? You know, are there words on the flag?
Are there?
Is it word related?
Words?
Yes.
There are some words.
And is it word related? The answer
it
you're looking for?
It is not word
not.
Related.
Not, okay.
Okay.
Is it something we would think of if we thought about Belize? Because I know we think about it all the time.
Not necessarily Belize. It's just it's omitted from any flag. It's sort of odd if you think of every flag in the world. None depict this other than Belize.
Does it have a map of itself on it?
No.
That would be cool, though.
That's a good guess, though.
Yeah.
I think we give up, then.
It's the only flag with people on it.
Really?
Is it really?
Yeah, it has. It has a one Caucasian and one African, African descent.
Huh. Interesting. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Not at all.
Good to know.
Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. and have been for a long, long time. So feel free to call in. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll-free 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace, San Francisco Chronicle's own classical music critic Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Kira, it is your turn.
All right. Well, I have a lead-in question for you, followed by a list question. My lead-in question is this. What term was first created in 1995 by writers Chris Mazza and Jeffrey Deschell as an ironic title for a collection of post-feminist essays? The term has since been co-opted to describe writing that is fundamentally the opposite.
Can you read that once more?
Sure. What term was first created in 1995 by writers Chris Mazza and Jeffrey Deschell as an ironic title for a collection of post-feminist essays? The term, which is a very popular term, has since been co-opted to describe writing that is fundamentally the opposite. It's two words.
Fundamentally the opposite. What do you
of,
say?
Of post-feminist.
Okay.
Yeah.
This isn't ringing no bells.
No.
The opposite of post-feminism. Yeah,
it's used, it tends to be used sort of as a derogative.
Toward?
Female written,
is it
female.
Chicklet?
Chicklet. That's absolutely right. Mm. Yeah,
good
yeah.
Job.
That term dates to 1995.
1995. It was
wow.
It was meant as an ironic title for their collection of essays, and it sort of got a life of its own.
Wow.
So I have some chicklet questions for you.
Okay.
Sort of. Here are the names of a bunch of characters from literature who are young animals. You tell me the novels that they're featured in. So different kind of chicklet.
How many are there?
There are five. Okay. I'm sorry, six. Okay. The first one, a horse named Joey. The second one is a pig named Wilbur. The third is a fawn named Flag. The fourth is a lion named Elsa. The fifth is a St. Bernard Scotch Shepherd named Buck. And finally, two redbone coonhounds named Old Dan and Little Anne. These are all pretty famous works.
Give the names once more, if you would.
Sure. A horse named Joey. A pig named Wilbur. A fawn named Flag, a lion named Elsa, a St. Bernard Scotch Shepherd named Buck, and two red-bone coonhounds named Old Dan and Little Anne.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, Buck is the hero of Jack London's Call of the Wild.
That's correct. Yeah, a lot of people picture him as a husky, but he is a St. Bernard mix. So, yeah.
They're all dogs to me.
Wilbur the pig, yeah. That's Charlotte's Web.
Yep.
And Elsa the lioness is the heroine of Born Free.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Flag's not the Marjorie Kinnon Rawlings, the yearling, is it?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
I figured you would get that at least with the Gregory Peck tie-in.
Wait, Flag is a fawn?
He's a fawn, yep.
Yeah.
I've never read this book. I thought a yearling was a horse.
No, it's
any
a
animal
Florida.
That's, yeah. You know, a year under a year old or
yeah.
It's
yeah.
called a yearling. Well, not any animal, but a
I'll
lot of
darned.
Animals. Yeah.
Okay, well, this is educational. Thank you.
Yeah, it's required reading in Florida. She's
oh, okay.
a Florida
I'll bet.
Author. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So we still have a horse named Joey and two red-bone coonhounds named Old Dan and Little Anne.
Joey.
Old Dan and Little Anne.
These are the two, yes, on my list, they are the two most recent additions to the chick lit category.
Sure.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Mark and Maddie.
Good evening.
Hi.
Howdy. And yes, I too had a stick in a cardboard box.
Good.
Like, you had that immediately. That was pretty cool. Okay, capital cities. Panama City.
Mm-hmm. Good, right.
And Andorra de Vella.
Yes, capital of Andorra, right.
I was thinking Taipei, Taiwan, but I don't think that's
nah.
a good
I mean, there may be an etymological link, but I'm ruling them out unless it's a full, complete word overlap.
Yeah, I kind of mixed it. I just sort of mixed it while speaking.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We're done.
All right.
Okay.
Right, thank you very much.
Bye.
And Josh?
All right. Let me see. What should I give you here? Well, I had a book list, but I'll save the book list for another time. There's only been one role in Broadway history that has won a Tony for two actors of different genders, one by a man in 1972 and again by a woman in 2013. What role in what show?
Is it some sort of maybe narrator role?
Yes. Well done.
I can't remember now. Is it like Pippin or something like that?
Exactly.
Is it really?
Good
yes,
job.
It is. Well done, you. The leading player in Pippin. Do you know who played it?
No.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. 1972. Was what? No. I was going to say Andrea Martin, but no.
No.
72. The
72 one. is the guy who created it. I mean, that's
not Jerry Orbach, is it?
No,
he wasn't in that. No, don't know.
All right. Well, we'll consider it answered, but we'll leave it out there. So, Kira got it that the leading player in Pippin is the only role in Broadway history that has won a Tony for actors of different genders, won by a man in 1972. I believe that was the premiere of the show. And again, recently in 2013 by a woman. But we're looking to see if anybody who's listening out there knows the names of those actors.
All right. All right. I'm going to give you two questions because I want to burn these off. The name of what popular manufactured game is a Swahili word?
Swahili? Mancala.
I'm not familiar with that game.
Aren't you?
No.
Oh. I'm not sure that is. I mean, it's an African game.
It's not what I have anyway.
All right.
It's just. I'm sorry. You said a manufacturer.
Yes, it's a manufactured game.
Oh,
in other
game.
Words, it's not
okay.
not something you pay with a stick and a cardboard box.
Right. Okay. Sorry. I heard manufacturer as opposed to manufactured.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So it's sold through store. You know,
right.
You go to a store to buy it. So the name of what popular manufactured game is a Swahili word? If I told you what the word meant, it would give the game away. I think.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's a very popular game. It's been around for quite a while.
Yeah. Don't know.
Okay. Second question. What are the 10, again to the Toy Hall of Fame, what are the 10 oldest toys, and this is historically, the 10 oldest toys in the Toy Hall of Fame? And don't say stick in a cardboard box, please. I'll give you each couple guesses.
Dice?
No, weirdly enough, dice is not even in there.
Huh.
Yo-yo?
Yes, yo-yo is one. Very good.
Playing cards?
Playing cards are not in there either.
So it's not a real Hall of Fame in any meaningful
well,
sense.
Well, this is for children rather than adults.
Yeah, and children never play with cards. I didn't.
It's not the cards. It's the box the cards came in.
I was never allowed to play with cards until I had hit 18.
There you go.
I'm calling
all right.
Yes, on the Toy Hall of Fame.
No.
Without
I'm
dice
only going
cards.
By the list that they have.
So I'm not blaming you. It's just a...
Thank you.
Call of shenanigans has been made. It's filed.
What are the 10 oldest toys historically in the Toy Hall of Fame? So far, all we have is yo-yo.
All right. Are any of them board games as such?
No.
Mr. Potato Head.
No.
Okay.
Older than that.
Okay.
Much older.
So not chess or checkers.
Chess.
Ooh. Oh, all right.
Yes. Chess is one. Does that make you happy?
No, I'm not. It takes more than
chess
that.
And checkers, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Are you counting that as one or two?
That's two.
Okay.
Good.
So yo-yo, checkers, and chess. What are the 10 oldest toys in the Toy Hall of Fame? Now, I'm talking about historically here. And what name of the name of what popular manufactured game is a Swahili word? And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
It's Roger in San Francisco.
Hi, Roger.
Answers. One of the toys, a spinning top.
No.
No. And the Joey, the horse, that's in War Horse.
Show enough.
Good job.
Yeah. And just saw the Ring Cycle last week. A couple of questions. Why does Votan have only one eye? And how many Valkyries are there, and what are their names?
Oh, my goodness. There are 9 Valkyries, of which I can name about 2 or 3. One is Brunhilde, one is Voglinda, one is Flosshilde. Unless these are Rhine maidens, that may be true.
Yeah, that was a
those are Rhine maidens, aren't they? Yeah, I don't know.
And why does he have only one eye?
Well, it's not clear. He says he risked it. He risked it in wooing Fricka.
But the Norns tell us.
Oh, do they say more about it?
Yeah, the Norns tell us that he gave it in exchange for wisdom.
Right. But the details of what actually happened are not actually spelled out, are they?
No, they're not.
Oh, okay.
It's very vague.
Grimgerda. There we go. That's one of them. But more than that, I cannot say.
Okay. All right. It's Gerhilde, Helmviga, Waltrauter, Schwertleiter, Ortlinder, Sigruna, Grimgerda, and Rossweiser.
Oh, well done.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Roger.
Thank you. So much for my friend, Fricka. And let's see. Kira, it's your turn.
All right. Oh, real quick, the Swahili game, what about Othello?
Interesting guess. No, not that.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure this is wrong, but if it turns out to be right and I didn't say it, I'm going to feel silly. It's not Parcheesi, is it?
It is not Parcheesi.
Okay, because I know that's Indian-themed, but who knows what kind of cultural appropriation may be going on.
Right.
All right.
Kira, it's your turn.
All right. Of the independent countries of the world, only 5 have common English names that are one syllable long. Which ones?
Chad.
Chad is the first.
Spain, France, Greece. Sorry, these are coming.
That's okay.
I'll stop.
No, go ahead.
I don't know that I have the other one. These just all came because they were right next to each other geographically. So they came to mind. And I'm done.
All right. Repeat the question, please.
Sure. Of the independent countries of the world, only 5 have common English names that are one syllable long. Josh already got Chad, France, Greece, and Spain. We're looking for one more.
What part of the world is that in?
Eastern Hemisphere. So I narrowed it down by not that many.
Yeah. All right. Someone will get
Louse.
This.
Louse.
There it is.
Oh.
There you go. Try to top me, will you? Poke in the eye. All right. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Karen, along with Robert and Bernal Heights.
Hi.
And on our capitals with names similar to that of their countries, what about San Salvador, the capital of El Salvador?
Yes, good. Put that on the list for sure. Well done.
Okay. And on toys in the Hall of Fame, what about Jax?
Yes.
So
yes.
Good.
Very good.
What about marbles?
Yes. Also good.
Okay. I think that is it for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Right. Yes, Jax and marbles. So far we have the 10 oldest toys in the Toy Hall of Fame, and I mean historically in the sense of they've been around the longest. Marbles, chess, checkers, Jax, yo-yo.
Oh, ball. Just ball.
Ball. Ball is, yes, really? That is one. Yes. Yes.
I'm loving the answers to your questions tonight. Stick, ball, box.
Life is basic.
Yeah. It's very green eggs and ham of you.
Yes. Yeah. And did you have a short question? Because we answered your last one. Do you want to ask something quick?
No. Oh, here's one. So in 1967, the city of San Francisco adopted an article that provided it with the authority to designate and protect city landmarks. There are 276 of them right now, but the first two designated on April 11th, 1968, are what? What are the oldest two landmarks? Nope. Oh. These are permanent structures.
Oh.
So buildings. One, I think, is very obvious, and the other one, I think, is a lot less obvious.
Golden Gate Bridge.
No.
Coit Tower.
Landmark buildings. No, Coit Tower is a great guess, but it is not that. It's a sweet moneymaker for the city. But,
yeah. Okay. Permanent structures.
Mm-hmm. The first two designated in San Francisco.
Interesting.
Are they buildings or could they be statues?
They're buildings.
Oh, they're both buildings?
Mm-hmm. They actually serve rather the same purpose. So if you get one, you'll know what kind of structure the other one is, sort of.
They're not mints, are they?
No.
It's not City Hall, is it?
Nope.
How about the Opera House?
Nope.
Should be, though.
I believe, I even want to say it might be the oldest building in the city. It's definitely.
Oh, Mission Dolores.
There we go. That's the first one.
Of course.
All right.
And
so there's one more.
All right. Well, we don't want to hog it.
And we already have already. Actually, let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Kira, go ahead.
All right. I'm looking for the novel that features two redbone coonhounds named Old Dan and Little Anne. And the question I just asked about San Francisco's first two designated city landmarks, one of them was Mission Dolores, and the other one, if you know it, call in.
Josh.
I'm looking for world capitals with a full word overlap with the name of the countries. Some of them have the same name. Some of them have that country name plus city, and some of them have other overlaps. Ones that we've gotten so far, Luxembourg, Guatemala City, Mexico City, Panama City. There's one more country plus city to get. And then we've got Andorra La Vella, which is the capital of Andorra, and San Salvador, which is the capital of El Salvador. Two more in the general miscellaneous category. Also looking for the two actors, one male and one female, who have won Tonys for playing the leading player in Pippin. That's all I got.
All right. The name of what popular manufactured game, long-time popular game, is a Swahili word? And let's see, the 10 oldest toys, and this when I say the 10 oldest toys in the Toy Hall of Fame, I mean the 10 oldest toys historically, how far back they go in world history. So far we have ball, marbles, chess, checkers, jacks, and yo-yo. What are the other ones? And I think that's it. Okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Connie from Florida. I have a question. Guess on the Swahili word. Is it Jenga?
It is Jenga. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Very
well
good.
Done.
The actual word is kujenga, which means to build, but yeah. Very good.
Okay. And then I also, I had Jack's, but I heard the other lady got it. And then for the Pippin question, is that Ben Vereen?
It is Ben Vereen. Yeah, well done.
Right. Good job.
That's it for me. Thanks.
Thanks, Connie. And Josh, it is your turn.
All right. Well, let's see. Here's a language question. We know about the concept of language isolates that are languages that are unrelated to anything else like Basque. But it also turns out to be the case that you can have language isolates within a known family. And in fact, among Indo-European languages, there are three very prominent, very familiar languages in the Indo-European family that seem not to be closely related to any other languages within any other branches of Indo-European.
Estonian.
Estonian is not one. Estonian is
It is not.
It's related
Finno-Ugric.
To Finnish.
It's the same as Finnish and Hungarian.
It's not Hungarian either?
No, because they're all
That's right.
They're all
okay.
related. That,
they are.
Nothing in the Finno-Ugric.
So are these national languages, George?
These are national languages. And they're all familiar Indo-European languages that don't seem to be closely related to any other branches of – any other languages or branches of the Indo-European family.
I want to say that Maltese might be one of them.
You are in error because Maltese is not even Indo-European. It's a Semitic language.
That's what it – I knew there was something weird going on with it.
It's the only Semitic language that's a national language of Europe.
Yeah.
That's the trivia fact that you're reaching
for. There was something
Yep.
Go over the premise of this once more.
The premise is that within the Indo-European language – Indo-European language family, there are three well-known languages that are not related closely to any other languages in the family. So not Hungarian, Estonian, or Finnish because they're all related to each other.
Could Welsh be
one?
Welsh is Celtic.
Is
and,
it?
And
okay.
We had some – this came up a few weeks ago and then I went and checked it and it is.
All right.
So not that.
And they are national
they
languages.
They are well-known national languages, not well-known to us as speakers, but.
I'd be willing to bet that it's going to end up being something very Eastern European, like Armenian or something that has its own writing system too. But I don't think it's Armenian. I'll still guess it. Armenian.
Armenian is one. Well
All
done.
All right.
Good job.
Yay.
Yes, give the woman a bell.
Okay. How about Georgian then?
No.
Okay.
Georgian, I think, is just Slavic. Like
I thought so, too, but they also have their own – I thought they had their own system.
No, it is Cyrillic alphabet.
I think
alphabet.
It's Cyrillic.
Yeah, it is Cyrillic.
Check on that.
I will.
Okay.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Stephen Vallejo.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. On your country and capital name, is Vatican City one of them?
Sure.
Good job.
Well
and
done.
And on the – On the Hall of Fame toys, how about Teddy Bear?
Teddy Bear's in there, but it's not one of the 10 oldest, let's put it that way.
Okay. How about Lincoln Logs? Mm-hmm.
Also in there, but not one of the oldest.
Okay. So I have a couple of questions for you related. When Emperor Hirohito died in 1989, there was a rumor that he was buried with a piece of pop culture, I guess you could call it. Any idea what that would be?
Is it a baseball by any chance?
No.
Oh, that's so good, though. Sergeant Pepper.
Was it something he got as a gift from an American?
It was, yes.
Yeah, it strikes a very dim bill.
Was it a musical instrument?
No.
Okay.
No, his son is the one that's plays the saxophone, I think, or sort of clarinet or something. Okay, so
he was given it by an iconic American character, I guess you would say.
Iconic American character, Will Rogers?
No.
Character like Mickey Mouse, maybe something
Mickey
Mouse.
Oh, Mickey Mouse watch.
Exactly.
That's good. Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Wow.
He visited Disneyland in 1975, and Mickey Mouse gave him a watch, and it's rumored that he's wearing it still.
Interesting. All right. Thank you very much.
And then,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And, so one other Disney question. In the Haunted Mansion in the Grand Ballroom, there's a centerpiece of an organ, a pipe organ. I was wondering if you might have a guess as to where that organ originally came from before it was put into Disneyland.
You got all cocky about that, Karen.
No, I was excited. No, I thought it was going to go in a different direction, and it did not. No. Well, it's also Disneyland, not Disney World. So,
was this a religious related place?
No, it was actually it was built by Disney, but not originally for Disneyland. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Was it built for one of their movies?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
Was not see. Live action Disney movie from the 50s or 60s then. That's too early for Bedknobs and Broomsticks, yeah. But I don't remember any organ in that anyway.
Was it built for Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? I mean, it's not on because they use a pipe organ in the background in that.
No, it was built for a live action Disney
live
movie.
Action. Okay.
All right, was Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Disney?
That's later.
I don't know when the Haunted Mansion opened, you could be right. But that's not a Disney movie either.
Okay, well, that's why I couldn't remember.
Mansion opened in 1969.
Right. Okay. How far back does it? Can you give us an idea how old the movie is?
I believe it was late 50s.
No, it's live action, so I can't guess.
What are the live action Disney movies?
They made a lot of live action films back then, but I just
1954.
Can't. 1954.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was the one in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. It's
exactly.
In the Nautilus. Yes, there's a pipe organ in there. Yes.
Captain Nemo's organ.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
There
nicely done.
Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Thanks.
All right. I have a geography question here.
Good.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you all the countries that border a particular country, and I want you to tell me what the country is. This is obviously very hard to do in Europe, but because we're pretty familiar with all the countries. So Africa seems to lend itself to that a little bit better. So I'm going to give you all the countries that border a particular country, and you name that country. Here's number one. Benin.
Oh, you got multiple of these?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Benin, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Mali, Niger, and Togo. So again, what country borders all those countries? Benin, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Mali, Niger, and Togo. I'll give you one more for now. And another one in Africa. Senegal. That's the only country that borders this one. Okay? All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Mm-mm. No? Senegal is, that's an easy one. That's Gambia.
The Gambia.
That's right.
That's right
in
there. Okay, good job.
And I believe that the first one is Burkina Faso.
That is correct. Oh, I'm too good at this.
I'm sorry. I've been taking a lot of map quizzes on Sporkle
all right.
for years.
So I guess what I'll do is I'll recuse you. I'll give one more and I will recuse you from it.
Fair enough.
So, but Kira can answer if she knows. So here are the countries that border a particular country. Tell me what the country is. Albania, Montenegro, Macedonia, Serbia. Albania, Montenegro, Macedonia, Serbia. What country borders all those countries?
I think it might be... Is it Bosnia-Herzegovina?
It is not.
Is it the other one, Sarajevo? Not Sarajevo, that's the capital. Sorry, don't mind me. I don't know. It's Yugoslav, whatever it is.
Related to that. Yeah.
Okay.
So what country borders all these countries? Albania, Montenegro, Macedonia, and Serbia. All right, I'll give you one more because I have a couple left. Here's Africa. What country has borders with all these countries? Namibia, Zambia, South Africa, and Zimbabwe.
Is that one Botswana?
It is Botswana.
Okay.
Very good.
Phew. Okay.
All right. So we're still looking for Albania, Montenegro, Macedonia, and Serbia. They all border what country? That's your bell. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Ted in San Francisco.
Hi, Ted.
I actually called originally with the Swahili name game Jenga, but I know you guys got that already.
We get it, Bill.
Thanks. So is one of the oldest toys jump rope?
Yes, jump rope. Very good.
Yay.
Good job.
And for the languages, were any of them, did you say none of them were any of the languages spoken in Spain, or was that not necessarily the case?
I didn't say that, but it is the case.
Oh, okay. I was going to guess Catalan, but...
No, I think Catalan is pretty closely related to the other Romance languages.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds of Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. I'll guess Flemish for one of the languages, just to guess.
No, good guess, but not right.
Then it's not a good guess.
No. Well,
let's see.
It's a better guess than other things might have been.
Oh, thanks. You're kind. let's, Hall of Fame toys. How about checkers?
Yes, somebody got that just before you, but checkers is correct. I'll give you a bell for that.
Darn. That's how okay. about a slingshot?
No, not a slingshot. That's a good guess, though.
How about an inanimate carbon rod?
No. No, just a stick.
No, that's employee of the month in Springfield.
Yeah. Right. All hail the rod. Albania, Montenegro, Macedonia, is that Kosovo? The bordering countries?
That is correct. Kosovo.
Yay. And I think that's all I got. Oh, no, the capital. Did somebody say Liechtenstein for the capital?
They did not, because the capital of Liechtenstein is Vaduz.
Is that that's why I wasn't going to say it.
There you go.
So that's exactly why. How about Monaco?
Monaco is good, and no one has gotten it, so that's a bell.
Yay. Okay, and let's see, and since you mentioned Ursula K. Le Guin earlier, even though she wasn't the proper answer, can you name the actor who played her father in a TV movie?
Her father? Whew. I didn't know her father was someone famous.
Yeah.
She did, yeah, she was her famous father. Tell us what he was.
Oh, wait a minute, I remember now, wait a minute. Her father was the anthropologist in Berkeley who brought Ishii in from out of the... Isn't that right, or am I making this up?
That's right. You're
John
right.
Voight. Didn't John Voight play him?
You're right. You're
what movie? I didn't know what there was a movie about
was
that.
He called Ishii.
Yeah, they did a TV
like
movie with... I believe it was John Voight and Graham Greene playing Ishii.
Oh,
they did
wow.
a story right. about that. Yeah. Fantastic. All right.
Good.
Thanks. Great
thanks.
Show.
Thank
Adios.
You.
Forgot about that.
How about Albanian?
Albanian is one of them, correct.
All right. That's an extraordinarily hard language mm-hmm. to figure out. And, okay. And there's one more?
There's one more.
In Europe. Okay.
Armenian and Albanian are two, and there's a third one.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hi, this is Mike. Are you talking to me?
Yeah, Mike. You're on.
Hi, thank you. For games, what about Mahjong?
Not Ooh. Mahjong. It's that is a pretty old game, but it's not as old as some of these other things.
Darn. And countries, San Marino?
Good.
Good.
Did anyone mention good old playing cards?
I tried to get playing cards.
Yeah, but
Dana
no,
wasn't
it's, there, it's nowhere in the Toy Hall of Fame, weirdly enough.
Didn't get in there. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
Before I forget, I wanted to tell you that the story by Ursula K. Le Guin that you were thinking of is called The Ones Who Walk Away from Omelas.
Thank you. There we go.
Oh, very good.
And just because I read Norse mythology and spent a lot more time with that than with the Ring Cycle, Odin gave his eye to a talking skull named Mimir
Ooh.
In exchange for wisdom and magic. He had to agree to give up his eye, drop it into the well that Mimir lives at the bottom of, and he had to agree to hang from the world tree for 9 days and nights.
Wow.
See, you
pretty
just
cool.
You ask
That's
our
great.
Listeners, and
yeah.
they'll tell you.
They know more than Wagner does, because mm-hmm. he didn't mention any of that.
Yeah.
it's hard to put that in song, maybe. I don't know. All right, Maybe. Toy Hall of Fame,
yes.
A doll.
Doll, yes.
Oh, well done.
How about a toy sword?
No, that comes under the stick heading, I think.
How about, a stick is better anyway. Yeah. How about dominoes?
Dominoes are in there, but they're not among
old
the thing. Oldest. Yeah.
How about pickup sticks?
No.
How about a mask?
No.
All right, I got doll. Right. I have it on good local authority that Old Dan and Little Ann are from where the red fern grows.
Yes, the local authority is correct.
Good job.
All right. And now I have a question for you about a toy game. What is the familiar commercial manufactured name for a well-known game that was once known as The Captain's Mistress? It's been known by many names, and I was very surprised that it was not invented by under its manufactured name, where it's made from.
How old is the game?
Apparently, it's a couple centuries old.
Huh. Would you consider it a board game?
You'd have to call it a board game more than anything else. It resembles a lot of board games, but it's actually sort of played on a device rather than a flat board. That's a big hint.
Maybe like Heads Up or something like that, or whatever it was called. Or
I'm not familiar with Heads Up.
It's not Heads Up. I have the wrong name. But
okay, this has a very familiar commercial from within our time where someone says, "Where? I don't see it." And then someone answers, "Diagonally."
Oh, Connect Four.
Connect Four.
Oh.
Was once known as the Captain's Mistress.
Wow.
It's pretty sneaky.
Because sailors used it to while away the hours on sea.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ed. I'd just like to add on the Battle of in the Lord is, in English, it's called the Battle of Spring of Julius. That's Spring of Julius. And by the way, if Egypt did not win this war, Donald Trump and his family would be speaking Chinese right now. I just like to remind him by that. No. Truly, truly story.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. This is Terry from Fairfax.
Hi, Terry.
I had Kosovo that got taken.
Sorry.
In terms of the toys, a top?
Get that. No, it's not on that list.
Oh, okay. And can I make a request of you guys? I listen to your show all the time, and because you're talking to somebody on the telephone, I often can't hear the answer, and then I just hear the bell, and I haven't heard the answer really clearly. And so I wonder if someone gives you an answer over the phone, if you could repeat it for those of us that are listening.
All right.
That would be really great.
We'll try to remember to do that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, time to clean up here.
What about bat for your toy list?
Not bat.
Not bat.
What about the game of Go?
That is an old game. You're right about that. But no, I don't think it's in the Toy Hall of Fame.
Okay.
It's too hard. All right, time to clean up. What do you got, Kira?
All right, so the other of San Francisco's first two city landmarks, is Old St. Mary's Cathedral over on California Street. Good. And that's it.
All right. The leading player in Pippin was played for a Tony in 2013 by an actress named Patina Miller, who I'd never heard of. Overlapping countries, Djibouti is the capital of Djibouti, Singapore, Kuwait City, Bissau is the capital of Guinea-Bissau, Sao Tome is the capital of Sao Tome and Principe, and isolated languages, in addition to Armenian and Albanian, there is Greek, which is not related closely to any other Indo-European languages.
All right. Okay, let's see. What do I have left here?
Two blanks on my list.
Yes, 10 oldest toys in the Toy Hall of Fame, the ones nobody got, blocks and jigsaw puzzle. Blocks and jigsaw puzzle. Let's see, was there anything else that hasn't been answered? I think that's it. So if we did not get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you enjoy the show. Please join us then next Sunday, 7 p.m. And my thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, Joshua Cosman from the San Francisco Chronicle. Thank you very much, Josh. And thank you, everybody, for taking the time to tune in and call in. I'm Dana Rodriguez. I'm your moderator. And take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
If it ain't sis, you can't miss. It's got to be you, brother. Can't you see? It's got to be one way or the other.